The ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, the most anticipated festival in the region, will once again excite audiences with nearly 650 performances September 9th through the 20th. From comedy, dance, and theater to jaw-dropping spectacles across 39 venues all around Rochester. Don't miss amazing performances in the Spiegel Tent, including the world premiere of Cirque du Fringe Claws Out, Shot Sphere, Kids Fringe, and more. And direct from Italy, Sphere, a mind-blowing outdoor spectacle, free at Parcel 5, September 19th and 20th. RochesterFringe.com.
Let's take a minute to talk about Joe Bean Coffee, my go-to for great beans here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador, and I regularly brew their coffee at home. A recent favorite of mine is the natural process Colombian Finca Buena Vista coffee from Edwin Zambrano. This coffee won a 2024 Good Food Award, and I can't help but agree with that assessment. My brews have been full with fruity flavors of pineapple, strawberry, and orange, and each cup has brightened my morning. Next time you need some beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester, or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. For our loyal listeners, save 15% off your next order at joebeanroasters.com with code LUNCHADOR. You can also subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule, and never be without great coffee again. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care. Music means it's time for another episode of Just Can't Not. This is part of our series of preview podcasts for the ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, happening from September 9th to the 20th in scenic downtown Rochester, New York. Go to rochesterfringe.com to find out about all the events, get tickets ahead of time so people know you're coming, and get the app so you can find events on the fly. And I'm here with a guest. And by the way, this guest shouldn't be introducing them. They should be introducing me at this point for how many times they've been here. But guest, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Rivka Simcha. I'm a member of the Velvet Noose Theater Troupe. We're performing for Fringe this year, and I'm just really excited to be here to talk about our show.
Yeah. So before we dive into that, one, I just want to say congratulations on your recent exhibition opening with who I'd call my friend, Molly from our podcast Behind the Studio Door. Just wanted to say congratulations for the opening, and I really hope it went awesome.
Thank you. It was an awesome night. Just so grateful for Genesee Valley Council on the Arts holding space for Molly and I's work, and they put on a great opening for us. We had a great showing, and yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, it's great to have, you know, people like you two around, and you know, in my life in a very vague way that like I can be around more creative people. And I'm really excited to talk about your show tonight. So the Velvet News shows are on September 13th at 8 o'clock and September 20th at 8 o'clock, both held at the Muck. And those are $18 tickets. You can buy those at rochesterfringe.com. So can you tell me a little bit about, you know, what is the Velvet News? And I kind of want to dive into what this performance is specifically, not the details, but like what is this versus your typical performances. So one, what is the Velvet Noose?
Thanks so much. So the Velvet Noose is an avant-garde immersive theater troupe. We have been, you know, working in various iterations together, you know, in different configurations of people since 2017 when the troupe was founded. This is going to be our 11th production for the Muck, and the troupe has really grown and changed over the years.
Yeah.
We like to sort of really push the boundaries of what theater can look like and sound like and feel like. We blend multiple art forms together in each production. You could expect to see very dynamic dance and movement pieces. You can expect to see visual art. You know, a lot of our props are handmade. We put a lot of detail into the aesthetics of how things look and sound and feel. You can expect to hear spoken word and poetry, sound making and music. It truly is a multidisciplinary experience.
Yeah. So you mentioned, like, you know, the troupe's been around for, you know, for a while. So when you think about coming up with a production, do you think about it from, hey, we've been practicing this specific thing? Is it always targeted to a venue? Is it targeted to a to like an event, you know, that it's that the umbrella is under? How do you think about actually coming up with all the elements that make up a show that has so many disparate disparate styles of artistic expression?
Yeah, thank you. So it's really, I think about it like it's a world that all of our troop members are co-creating together. It is very much, it's like we drop into this world and we have a shared vocabulary and a shared aesthetic. There's poetry and writing associated with this world that we pull from for each production. You know, in the early days, the troupe was started by Harold Taddy and Theo Trombulak as sort of a duo, and it was very much showcasing, you know, Harold's soundscapes on his synthesizer and Theo's spoken word. And it's grown since then. I joined the troupe in 2019, and then Ishmael Walker joined, and we've had other artists kind of coming and going throughout our tenure together. But it's a world that we create together. Harold really is this channel for these ideas and these very clear visions of what he wants to have happen. And he knows us so well. Yeah. He knows our strengths and he knows like where to push us to like get, you know, get us out of our comfort zones and do new things. And yeah, it's just this wonderful universe that we make together.
So when you're thinking about that, you know, when you mentioned that there's kind of that, I don't know the right term, but is that more of an anchoring thing that the, you know, the ethics and the ethos of it is anchored in that? Or is it more of like, oh, things are exploding out of this?
Yeah, I definitely, exploding out is a good, I resonate with what that feels like. Because yeah. Once we start rolling, once we get together to start thinking about the next show for Fringe, and there have been other times we've just like mounted productions at Muck outside of Fringe, like we'll rent the space and like have it for a chunk of time. Once we're rolling, it does feel like an explosion sometimes because things will, you know, connect to past things we've done. Like I think our work really rewards repeat viewings, like longtime fans. Like we typically sell out Fringe. Like we have people who come year after year to see us. Like we definitely are aware of our trajectory and aware of how we keep leveling up like each and every time but we all always like have a great respect for where we've come from and for the things that we really love and the kinds of art that makes our like, you know, blood pound and hearts beat.
Yeah. And you don't want to forget about some of the past performances, especially if there's like this, like you mentioned, that common language of the performances of the past and your comfort zones, and also knowing when to push each other too. Because when you mentioned like, this isn't comfortable theater.
No.
And it's a very different, I think that's not what everybody understands, right? Because theater is such a wide umbrella that is so many different things that when your core is, hey, this is going to be pushing, this isn't going to, you're going to have to stretch a little bit, both as performers and as an audience.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I like to think of our work as visual poetry in some ways. Yeah. And we do touch upon some like darker and more challenging themes. But at the same time, I do think we offer that opportunity to explore those darkness within a frame. You know, I think we do, there are moments of vulnerability and tenderness, very human, you know, relationship, you know, struggles, moments of connection and disconnection, things that are very relatable. So it's not, the point is not just to shock for the point of like being shocking, but it's really to like encourage people to think deeper about themselves as humans and what it means to be a human.
Yeah. And I think that's why I tried purposely not to use the word, because the word shocking, because I thought of it really as like, hey, everybody's stretching, everybody's growing, everybody's maybe getting to be something different than they typically are. Is that something you found as part of doing this, that you have learned more about yourself and where you want to be?
In such a profound way. I have grown so much as an artist through working with the Velvet Noose. It really kind of, I think working with the Velvet Noose kickstarted my like career as an artist here in a big way. You know, meeting Harold and knowing him, and he had a lot of connections, you know, around the art scene here. It really like modeled for me what living an art life could look like. And I'm just so grateful for the way I've transformed and the way we've all transformed each other through making this work together. Like we get to dig down deep into the muck and like the muck and the muck.
Yeah, the muck.
And we just get to see, you know, every year we just, you know, this is our first year we're doing a musical and that's really exciting.
Oh,
you know?
Awesome. You know? I mean, let's talk about that. Because that is, it's a whole genre that has, you know, I'm not going to say rules is the wrong word, but there's a lot of understanding of what the structure of a musical is. And there's been a lot of people who've played with it, sometimes in a comedic way. You know, and I think of, you know, like Book of Mormon, right? And I think of classic musicals like, you know, The Music Man, you know, my personal favorite. And then you see like, hey, like Book of Mormon is playing exactly to the structure of a musical, but taking it in a different direction. When you're thinking, you know, when the group is thinking about taking, say, hey, we're doing a musical this time, are you purposefully trying to break the constructs of what a musical is? Are you using it as a, not a cage, but like, hey, creativity is forced by restrictions. How do you all work through that process of deciding how are we treating a musical?
Yeah, yeah. It's been really amazing. You know, Harold's a really talented composer, so he has composed for us before to like have the music. But for a while, we were using live music and not relying on a composed score. But this is the first time in a little bit where he's composed. And it's so nice to have, you know, the conventions of a musical, like the overture. You have like reoccurring musical themes that come and go. Mm-hmm. So you can expect to hear us kind of playing with those conventions. We're working this year with Daniel Ramo, who's a veteran of Blackfriars Theater.
And just one of the most interesting and cool people in Rochester.
She rocks. She's amazing. It's been such a dream working with her, and she's like, she's got the pipes, you know, she has that kind of training. So she really brings, she's going to bring a standout vocal performance that you're not going to want to miss. And it really, I would say it's a musical about making a show. Yeah. You know, so it's very much about like the liminal spaces, kind of you asking yourself, when does the show end? When does it begin? Where are we? Who are these performers? You know, are they a family? How are they relating to each other? And then like weaving in and out with the score. You know, it's, I think it's a very playful production, but it's also, you know, we dance with some themes, like darker themes like grief and the things that happen in our lives that kind of push us towards making art.
And yeah. And why did we feel the need to make a musical? Like could be a very introspective thing. Like, ooh, yeah, I guess this is a musical. I guess we're making an actual production.
Yeah.
No, because I find that fascinating. Did you get it? Like, I know you and Molly had mentioned about singing, you know, a lot. Did you get a chance to like get to stretch and try something different singing wise?
Oh yeah, yeah. I love singing. I mean, singing is like absolutely one of my favorite things to do. Like, as a human being. So yeah, everyone's stretching into that. I mean, it's a musical, everyone's got to sing, you know, we're the chorus too, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And when you're walking around, like it's part of the trope is like, oh, you have no choice but to burst into song.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And going into all the different topics too. And I love the idea of all those opportunities for different angles, different creative opportunities. Is that something like when you're thinking about, you know, when you're all coming up with the structure for different shows, is there often a theme for like a whole theme, or does it just end up being like bits and pieces of everybody and then you merge them together somehow?
Yeah. You know, we really do come together and talk through, you know, what we want the show to be about. But something we've also said to each other is that we're not really actors. Mm. We don't really see ourselves as like putting on these personas. They very much stem from who we are as people and the things that we bring to our relationships to each other and our relationships in the world. So there's not like that much of like a stretch, like you're playing this role and this is your character. It really is like, We are appearing before the audience very much as ourselves. And that's something we've played with in past shows. But I think with this musical, it's called The Stampede of One. It's very much just about like presenting ourselves as ourselves in these like performance personas. But we're never far from Rivka, from Harold, from Danielle, like who we are as people.
I kind of find that interest. You know, that's a fascinating way of doing it too. And it can be more vulnerable because you don't have the luxury is the wrong word, but you don't have the luxury of like, hey, I'm portraying a character.
Yeah.
Like you are you on stage, and it can be a heightened version or a lowered version, but a version nonetheless. And you have to, reckon with the vulnerability of doing that.
Yeah.
And I mean, from seeing the way you are doing your art,
you know, both with, you know, the recent exhibition and hearing you on other podcasts on, you know, on the network, it seems like that's a big part of how you like, I mean, how you express yourself is a full version of you as a person.
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And the Velvet Noose really has taught me that it's okay to show up with the things that I have inside me, that like, yeah. These are stories people want to hear, that you don't need to stretch so far into like, you know, we stretch into the imaginal, but it doesn't stray too far from the heart and the things that really matter to us, like as humans, you know, who love each other and know each other and have worked with each other for a long time. It's very much a show about making art and like devotion to the creative act and what it takes to put yourself out there and put on a show. All the things you have to sort of manage, and, you know, interruptions and like bodily needs and just like all this, you know, all these things that come up when you're trying to make art together.
Well, and I think that's also, I think honesty is one thing that in the productions that people remember when it comes to theater or anything else, I think people remember honesty, whether it's, you know, purely fictional, but there's an honesty to a portrayal. There's an honesty that's not, it's not the veneer, you know? And I think that's one of the hardest things to do is sometimes to remove the veneer of how we portray ourselves to the world and be really honest about the vulnerabilities and the joys. What brings us joy is different than what our veneer that we want people to think that this brings us joy. And I think that's kind of the thing that seems like what you're describing is it's a real honest.
Thank you.
It's a real honest theater opportunity to really bring honesty in all parts of the production.
Yes, I think you really nailed it with that. I think honesty, when I think about the work we make, you know, as a troupe, as the Velvet Noose, like it's so honest and so close to like these really visceral human experiences. And we really try to bring that to our audiences.
Yeah, earnestness is really hard. Being earnest and saying, hey, this is me.
Yeah.
And being okay with, hey, I'm just going to bring me.
Yeah. And another thing that we've really, you know, developed over time as we've grown as a troupe is this like clowning and clown work, theatrical clowning.
Yeah.
Which is very much about being vulnerable. It's not really like circus clowning as much. It's really, it's not, you know, the painted face, but like the red nose plays a part. And it's very much about The clown is this very vulnerable character who life happens to. Like a clown might suffer or fall down. And there's a quote that's the clown falls down so you don't have to. It's like the audience can watch the clown kind of like going through life and getting into situations and sort of, you know, in this naive way, like trying to work through stuff. And we sort of see ourselves like redeemed from our own follies in that. And it holds space for that. And so we've been playing with those themes, but it really, you know, in a big way, you're going to see those kinds of elements in the Stampede of One.
Yeah, it's so funny that you brought up clowning because, like, my 6 o'clock interview today was with Tanner Effinger from Breadcrumbs Productions, and they are putting on a show called Dragon Clown, where they went through the process of both doing education and practical trying out with 6 different drag performers who got to learn about the art of clowning, and they gave them the angle to come up with their own version of it through their experiences already doing drag.
Cool.
And like now this is the second time tonight I'm talking about clowning.
It all goes back to the red nose.
Yeah.
You can't escape.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's one of those things where the more I listen to people who are artistic, that, you know, it's those, there are these historical productions from, you know, Commedia dell'arte, right? You know, going back to, and then the tragic clowns and, you know, the incisive clowning and the different ways you can, you know, go after society in so many different ways. It's one of those universal things that, you know, in a lots of ways has been lost. Cause we have the veneer of the American, you know, birthday clown, right. Versus, you know, the historical productions that were culturally relevant, that were, you know, important, and these portrayals and these artistic expressions were key to society at the time. And I love that you're bringing some of those ethics to it too. Yeah. It's very cool.
Thank you. And I think another thing to know is that like, The Velvet Noose, like the work, you know, handles themes that can be intense or, you know, serious, but I don't think our work takes itself too seriously by any means. I think we're very much interested in things that are aesthetically pleasing, things that, you know, inspire curiosity. And we have a very curious, like, fan base, like people who kind of just like want to see what we're up to now, you know, and we'll come back. But, we really just try to keep it playful in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I think it's the difference between, yes, we take it serious, but we're not precious.
Yeah.
I love that that little difference of, yeah, we care really hard about what we do. We are taking it seriously. We're trying to give you the best performance we can give, but we're not precious. We want you to enjoy it the way you're going to enjoy it. And really, hey, show up, be present, and really embrace what you're seeing, and hey, think about it a little bit too.
It is so much about presence. And I know, like, when the troupe's early days with Harold and Theo doing, it was very much about meditations and like sound meditations. And Theo is a master at spoken word and reading. Like, they do wonderful things with their voice and like reciting quotes and poetry and their own writing. And I think even though the troupe has changed so much from being that kind of thing to being more of like a traditional like theater troupe, we have not lost sight of like the presence and like the meditative moments within our work. I think Stampede of One will have a lot of moments like that where you can just sort of be present with what's happening and sort of sink down and find like, you know, a place to just be present in the moment and receive what's happening, especially in the score.
Yeah. So we are wrapping up our discussion about, you know, the Velvet News shows that are happening at the Muck on September 13th and September 20th at 8 o'clock. But I kind of wanted to, you know, round up with, you know, we started this talking about, you know, your recent exhibition. How are you? Are you doing okay?
I'm doing amazing. This has been such a wonderful season of life. It's been so full of art and connection and like collaborations and friendships and, you know, coming off the show with Molly was great. And now diving into Fringe, I mean, it's been really busy, but I'm just feeling so grateful for all the opportunities for me as a person to like express myself and to make work with my friends. And I also started my residency at Rocco. I'm doing Comp Studios.
Oh, how cool is that? I mean, you know, I got to say a shout out to Blue Seas, you know, one of the most genuine people that you can run into in Rochester. Just really, really cool and facilitating a lot of great artists too.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a dream. I really love it over there. And to be able to be like bouncing from so many different projects, like a lot of them, it's all informing itself. And like the Velvet Noose has always walked hand in hand with like my personal art making. I find that whatever we're working on for Fringe or the show, like will just show up in the art that I make. And that's just really nice. It's just like an old friend popping. It's like, oh yeah, you know, it's so validating that I just feel so grateful to have this community around me.
Yeah. No, I can see it on your face too. When you're talking about that is like, you know, this, it seems like you're being like a lot of yourself in the best possible way. And I can, you know, hearing you talk about, you know, the last one and, you know, seeing the way you're talking about doing the residency and everything else, just makes me very happy to see you like, you know, going for it and really expressing yourself.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And it's one of the great luxuries to get to know people like you from a distance and, you know, have you in for so many great discussions. But yeah, I hope everybody goes out and checks out at least one of the shows. Like I said, on September 13th or the 20th at 8 o'clock, get your tickets on rochesterfringe.com. $18 tickets. Great way to support both the troupe and the Muck. A great place to have events that are, you know, these are the kind of things that can only happen at these kind of venues. They can't happen at the giant venues in town. These happen at these kind of venues because they exist, because these people are passionate people trying to make something cool, both for Rochester and for themselves. Anything else before we close out?
Yeah, we hope you will join us. Stampede of One, the musical. The Velvet Noose takes on the musical genre. Come see what we have in store for you.
Yeah, and make sure you also follow them on Instagram, and that's The Velvet Noose on Instagram. And thank you so much for coming over, and thank you so much for everybody for listening to our Fringe Preview podcast. We'll be back next time with more on the Lunch Hour Podcast Network, and just can't not.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.
Pagliacci.
Hey, this is Pauly Guglielmo, and if you'd like to hear the behind-the-scenes stories of some of your favorite small businesses in Rochester, join me for one-on-one interviews with the entrepreneurs behind those businesses. It's the Pauly Guglielmo Show podcast, and it comes out every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Hello, hello, folks. My name is Magnus. I am a host of The Mind of Magnus. It's a podcast where I focus on expanding my brain and bringing some awesome people along the way to help expand your brain. So I have some new seasons and some awesome new guests coming up this year. So join me. Send me some factoids if you have your own. I even have a call-in line. So check it out. Find me at mindofmagnus.com, wherever you get your Lunchador Podcast Network, which is everywhere.